This weekend, Chicago is dedicating arguably its biggest outdoor cultural attraction since the Columbian Exposition of 1893. It's a city park 3 blocks long and almost as deep by the lake right downtown. It goes by the name Millennium Park because it was scheduled to open 4 years ago, but it grew in scope and costs tripled. Now the half-billion-dollar park is filled with contemporary sculpture, such as a giant mirrored kidney bean, an arts band shell, and a silvery snaking pedestrian bridge by star architect Frank Gehry. Chicago Public Radio's arts editor Edward Lifson reports.
Chicago is always trying to shed its image as a stockyards kind of place, a place to fly over, or at most to take in a convention. Well, next time you're here, tell your cabbie to swing by Millennium Park, says Bob Fitzpatrick. He runs Chicago's Museum of Contemporary Art.
Stop your taxi. Take 20 minutes, look at the sculpture of Anish Kapoor, the bean, which is gorgeous beyond belief, and then take the trip of your lifetime across that bridge. Moses was great when he parted the Red Sea. Frank Gehry was even better when he crossed the freeway.
Chicagoans apparently have not lost their sense of hyperbole since city planner Daniel Burnham exhorted them about a century ago to make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood. Well, the bean in this park by top drawer British artist Anish Kapoor is 3 stories high. It weighs more than 100 tons, but its mirrored curves gently bend the image of the sky and the clouds and the famous Michigan Avenue sky. Line. The pedestrian bridge on which Fitzpatrick all but found God is by his friend Frank Gehry. But wait, there's more. Another contemporary sculpture includes 2 glass block towers, each is 50 feet high. They face each other across a long, shallow reflecting pool. The towers display changing colors, and on the sides facing each other are 50-foot-high LED screens. The Catalan artist who designed this, Jaume Plensa, invites everyone to join him walking on water.
We will be on the water, which that is a dream for me. But this idea, like childs enjoying walking on the water, you remember when we were children, it was amazing.
The LED screens then light up with a 50-foot-high face, one of 1,000 Chicagoans of various backgrounds. They stare and then pucker their lips, and water spouts out of these modern video gargoyles.
Look at, she's moving the mouse.
Oh, it just blinked at us. Behind this, you'll see thousands of perennials and redbud trees, beeches, hornbeam, and tall hedges shaped like train cars to recall rail lines that ran right here until recently. The designer of this also did the new Lady Diana Memorial in London's Hyde Park. A boardwalk and a creek through the garden mark where Chicago met the lake until the land was extended with debris from the Great Fire. Designer Catherine Gustafson made one side of the boardwalk light and the other dark.
The dark plate represents before the fire. Very dappled light, it's very textured, it has light and shadows, and it's very dense. The light plate is like an open prairie. It's full of sun, it's full of colors, it's full of changing perennials in the seasons. This magical mix of textures and colors.
Her garden flows by another startling structure in Chicago's new Millennium Park. It's a band shell designed by Frank Gehry. Think of an outdoor stage surrounded by Gehry's swirling, curly-cueing ribbons of slightly reflective steel. Gehry says building in Chicago meant something special to him.
When I was 12 years old, my father used to bring me to Chicago. Those were some of the best times I had with him. We had a stormy relationship, so coming here brings back that nice memory.
And his bandshell is as exuberant as any Baroque folly in any Roman park. Frank Gehry says, why not?
Well, I've always been for optimism and architecture, not being sad. You know, a building for music and performance should be joyful, should be a great experience, and should be fun to go to.
Even more zones are programmed in this park, such as an underground music and dance theater, valet parking for bicycles with a shower, a restaurant and cafe, and in winter, an ice skating rink, and a neoclassical peristyle of columns.
I'm not happy with it.
local art critic James Yud.
It looks so crowded to me. It is so packed, 10 separate visiting areas in a 24-acre park. And I would argue that this feeling that they have to have this ceaseless variety, that every time you turn around, you're in another art zone, is really rooted in a sense of desperation, that they just feel they have to keep you titillated every possible second. There's no place there to go and have a picnic lunch unless you're some kind of exhibitionist.
No one is more proud of Millennium Park than is Chicago's Mayor Daley. But the Chicago Tribune has slammed the mayor on this for cost overruns, delays, and cronyism. What also troubles some watchdog groups is that this project changed from a simpler plan for a more traditional park to what it is now when wealthy donors got involved. The donors had some influence on the works that would fill this park, which sits on public land, Jackie Levy reminds us. She's the executive director of the Neighborhood Capital Budget Group.
There were no public hearings. There was no public discourse about the place of this particular mega project in our overall vision for the city. And there was no democratic, small d democratic decision making involved at all. The mayor simply got an idea, which grew and grew and grew.
City officials respond that most of the public money for this came from revenues from the parking garage on which it sits. Almost all the rest came from taxing downtown businesses. And they hope this new tourist lure generates hundreds of millions of dollars. Wherever you are, soon you'll probably see someone wearing a t-shirt with a reproduction of a mirrored kidney bean. It's certain to become the marketing logo of this highly branded park in a city that, like every other, is trying to sell itself. For NPR News in Chicago, I'm Edward Lifson.